You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If there's something I need I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend. If there's something I need I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend.
Hi, everybody. It's Jamie Lee Curtis, and you're listening to the Good Friend Podcast, presented to you by iHeartRadio. It's a podcast about friendship. We talk about everything. We cry, we laugh. We think about what it really means to be a good friend. And I have conversations with some of my best friends, some people I've never met, and sort of everything in between. So I hope by the end of it that you have a really good sense of what friendship means to me and the people that I consider friends. And I hope you can take those same ideas into your own friendship groups. And I hope you enjoy it. Hi, everybody. It's the Good Friend Podcast, where we discuss friendship. And I am really excited today. I've been looking forward to it, to talk to my friend Demi Moore, because we've been friends for 30 plus years, but yet it's only recently that we have leaned into it in a way.
100%.
And in that, what comes from it, which I think is interesting and very unique to us, is that we had a peripheral understanding of each other. We had a mutual admiration society where I need to tell my listener this. I think we have one. I'd like to at least say that we have one listener. I'm trying to be grounded and not be grandiose. So I do believe we have a listener. I will tell you something that happened when I first made my first book for children, which was a surprise to me. It was called When I Was Little, a 4-year-old's memoir of her youth. It was a book for children. It was produced. And the first book signing I ever did was at a store called Children's Book World on Pico Boulevard. And this was pre-internet, pre-social media, pre-all of us becoming our own PR people, pre-us selling everything ourselves. And I remember I did very little promotion. I think I was working at the time, and I couldn't do a big promotion. And all I remember is sitting down to read and then sign some. And when I looked up, Demi Moore was there with, I think it was only Rumor, right?
Definitely Rumor, maybe Scout. Scout was born in 91.
Yeah, I think it was before then.
Yeah.
I think it was before then.
And you know what's so interesting is my, you know, perspective or perception was of such awe. The book was so moving to me. Mm. And I was just really enamored that you had done this. Also, the personal story that you were telling and just how beautiful it was that you, I don't know, were just openly sharing, but you had found this context to bring it forward. And I think I was really intimidated.
Well, we'll discuss that. I'm letting you know that even though we were not close friends, we were acquaintances, we had things in common. We will kind of unpack that a little bit here today to kind of figure out how we kind of circled each other a little bit. But I will tell you, in that moment, for you to be sitting there cross-legged on the ground with your daughter, looking up as I was doing my first ever book signing / reading in the bookstore that I used to shop for my daughter's books from when she was born, was so moving to me. And your level of support in that moment was crucial, particularly because we weren't close friends. It wasn't like we were besties and you'd be like, of course I'm going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we really hadn't. I didn't even know you knew I had made a book. I remember that moment and the grace that you brought, and the moment was very moving to me.
Thank you. Gosh, that means so much to me to know that. Because, you know, in life, I really feel like we have these encounters where someone impacts us, but the other person may not have any clue or really know the depth of the impact that that small action may have had. It's always fascinating to me. Like, I have one of those, not to like go too far off track, but
go wherever you want to go. This is we are free and easy podcast. It can go wherever it goes.
Well, so this was just about impact, because the director, Gary Marshall, who was a big part of Happy Days, mm-hmm. And I was a teenager living in West Hollywood, and I was invited to go see a taping of it at Paramount Studios. And the person who had invited me knew one of the actors. And so there was a little bit more of a connection than just the general audience. Anyway, after the show, we were speaking and I was introduced to Gary Marshall. And I think I was a fairly high energy person. I still am. And I remember Gary Marshall turning to me and saying, if you could harness that energy, you could really do something with it. Mm. And for whatever reason, I understood what that meant. Years later, I mentioned it to him. And of course, he didn't remember it at all. And yet the profound impact that it had on me and on how I, from that moment on, perceived life and the importance of channeling my energy. Yeah, it forever changed in a moment.
So, but that's a really interesting thread to unravel our sweater. Because obviously, as friends, we are very intentional. We suit up and show up. Mm-hmm. If it's a birthday, we want to make sure that that person feels our presence, our vision of them, that we see them, that we hear them, that we have found the perfect gifting to mark that occasion. The celebrations that take place around people's accomplishments, whatever it is, become ritualized. They become, commercialized. They become
memorialized.
Exactly. And there's something so interesting to me about random moments of sight, of impact that you just described, that I described to you about you sitting there at the on the ground at this book thing. You weren't trying to say to me anything but, I see you, I hear you, I appreciate you in that moment, and I'm proud of you in that moment. I'm here.
And I was. All of those things that you just said, I was and more.
But you see, you didn't call me for a week before going, hey, it's me. I was thinking of coming to your book signing. It's so great that you're doing it. Blah, 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 blah. And afterwards, you didn't try to connect back to it. You let the moment be the moment. It didn't need articulation. It didn't need to be stretched and pulled and reshaped into something. It was a moment of connection and bearing witness. And then it was over. And I have never forgotten it. And as you said, you've never forgotten what Gary Marshall, he probably forgot that he ever said to you, you know, if you could harness
he
it.
He didn't even ever remember meeting me.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's how different our experiences can be of the same event. Now, with this event, I remember just being in awe that you had written a book. And I remember asking you about the person who did the illustration, and God, I can keep saying it, in awe of how it all came together.
And believe me, when that book showed up in an envelope at my house, after all of the drawings had been submitted, all of the, you know, color version of those drawings had been stapled together in what they called an FNG, fold and gather, and you get sent that, and then you get sent a proof, all of it. When that hardback book arrived in an envelope at my house and I opened that, I had the exact same feeling you did, which is, how did this happen? How is this here? I don't understand it. It is perfect in its perfection. And apparently I had something to do with it, but I didn't even, do you know what I mean?
Like, do you feel that this was an experience for you that almost was like a channeled experience in the sense of the story that came through? And from the outside, it seemed like the most natural that it happened with such grace and ease. And like, it's something that you should have always been doing.
If there's something I need, I don't already have. I know I'll get it from a good friend.
We'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break, so stick around.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Let's talk about channeling, because I think we're in an industry where the creative process, if my listener and you have never read Marilyn Monroe's last interview about her process about trying to be, you know, to be in the movie business. And she talks about the art form of being an actor, and yet it is scheduled like this minute scheduled thing where it's like at 10 a.m. you will create art. And she talks about, like, what if you're not feeling it? Like, it's art. It's reaction. But that's
part of the discipline, no?
Without question, it's part of the discipline. But there is something that happens in our lives where the channel does open, where the muse hits you, where I had never thought I was going to write a book. The last thing in the world I thought I would do is write books, because I could barely get through school. So the idea that a book popped into my head in the way it did, with Annie making a funny statement and me reacting to it, blah, blah, blah.
To that point, Elizabeth Gilbert did a TED Talk, if you haven't seen it. And part of what she talks about is how successful her first book was and how this energy coming towards her, like, oh, you know, you're going to be able to top that. And this pressure that can come in that can almost be debilitating. And for some writers, like Harper Lee, she never really wrote another novel again. But one of the things Elizabeth Gilbert talks about is that in our current time, we have started to refer to people as being a genius versus how it used to be referred to as having a genius. And that meant that it popped in. Sometimes it was there and sometimes it wasn't. And, you know, and those are those real transcendent moments that really do exist beyond, you know, space and time. And I think you talked about that when you wrote the foreword to Mark Nepo's book.
Yep.
Just like flowed in. And I really love that idea of having a genius, because it takes the pressure off of and it embraces our humanity, our imperfection, that it's not, that sometimes the genius is there and you need to stop what you're doing and go write it down, or because it's fleeting.
Yeah.
So sometimes your genius, your little genius shows up, and sometimes he doesn't at 10 a.m. sometimes.
Right. Oh, wow. I need to now watch that. And that is how, you know, in relation to you showing up for me as a friend and an acquaintance, sitting there honoring that moment, I think friends have a way of sort of protecting that spirit in you. So I'm interested in your early friendships. If you could just explain to my listener a little bit about your early life and how did you connect in friendship to people, did you?
Yes, such an interesting area to explore for me because, you know, there's always the pluses and minuses. I did have some really harsh experiences growing up. One of them being that one of the elements is that we moved so much. I was in never less than two schools a year, and which made me extremely adaptable. I was a very quick study. My ability to get in, assess, know who was who, how things were operating, who was wielding power, you know, like just how a system worked, like was almost like instantaneous. And it allowed me to really appreciate whatever was there while it was there. And knowing that, you know, don't get too attached because you're going to be moving on soon. And the downside of that was my adapting made me always looking externally to find my place. How can I assimilate? How can I fit in? And so knowing what I liked, what I didn't like, what I was really interested in was definitely filtered through pleasing and fitting in. And the other part of it, what that was, I think, has been a challenge and an opportunity is not being attached, not getting too attached. Also, doesn't lend itself to knowing how to nurture friendships. It doesn't know how to follow up and call. It doesn't know, like I didn't have in my, tool shed, how you build long-term friendships. Because for me, it was great while it was there. And I never held anything negative. If I were to run into someone that I knew again, that would be amazing. I just never expected it. And I think on the other side of that, I think I may have hurt people's feelings without ever knowing it because I just didn't know how to invest in that way.
So interesting. I'm very similar, out of sight, out of mind. Mm. And I have a lot of tools to kind of keep me very focused. I'm, as you know, incredibly sort of, it's the way my brain works, mm-hmm. which is why if you ever need somebody to go through and help you let go of items, I'm your girl because I just have that internal filing system that I've always had. I've had that since
I was... It's like a hypervigilance, though.
It is.
It
well,
comes
it's,
from that end of, and a brain that operates logically, which mine does as well. Like,
so
you know.
With that, though, I am able to pivot. And we are both professional actors in a field that demands an immersion into a group of people, the exact same description mm-hmm. of the hierarchy, the weakness, who is the person to go to, who is the person to not go to, who can you trust, who do you have to be light and polite with, who, and I think that skill has served us both very well as actors, because that's what happens to the listener. We drop into a group of 100 plus people, let's say 150 people every time, and you make alliances. It's very much like the Survivor show where, you know, you have these teams and you have alliances and you and then it's over.
Over. And occasionally you walk away with one friend, maybe two, but even one that you really stay close with. But it's, you know, it is. It's like mini marriages.
Very much so. And for me, I was able to pivot and then go into the next thing. And I actually haven't made that many friends, even though on the last day of work, you're weeping, you feel incredibly bonded with a group of people. There are professions of lifelong friendship and we will know each other for the rest of our lives kind of thing. And then my secret now is for the listener, there is a thing called a wrap party, which is at the end of a movie or end of a TV show or end of a creative work, you wrap, you know, that's a wrap. You've heard that phrase. So that's a wrap means now it's finished. And there is a wrap party that happens where often people get drunk. And of course, all of the withheld feelings people genuinely develop in a close, intense creative experience sometimes come out and gets a little messy. Yes. Often people who have been the single people in your life, you don't know them as family people. All of a sudden they show up with their wives, sometimes their kids, and you're like, okay, wow, I had no idea. But there's always that moment where you have to leave. And my secret, and anybody who, if a listener has tuned in who has worked with me on a movie, you will be nodding your head. I always, at some point, I don't stay long. I show up, usually smile, say hi to many people's families. And then I go, oh, you know, I left something in my car. I'll be right back. And I go. Because I
like a French exit.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. French exit, Irish exit. But
why are they only in Europe? Why can't there be like a Tulsa exit?
That's all I've ever heard. It's like where somebody just, you don't even say anything. You just dip away.
Well, but that was my way of cutting it off to stop that energy flow and be able to
without
move on.
Without actually having to say, it's done. It's like,
right.
It's
and without having to lie. Mm. And in that way of saying, oh, it was so great. It was so fun. I'm going to miss you and we'll talk soon. I'm never going to talk to you again is the truth. The 99.9% of the time, I am not going to talk to anybody again that I've worked with.
But do you remember them if you do end up having somebody on the crew?
So here's a great example. Weirdly enough, the Cinematographers Guild gave me a sort of life achievement award. I'm at that age now. You're way younger than me.
Oh, no, not by much.
I am at that age now. My hair's gray, and they're like, oh, she'll be dead soon. We got to do it now. And I went, I had a wonderful evening. And somebody came over to my table and said, hey, Dave, have these pictures from when they worked with you on blah, blah, blah. And no, it wasn't Dave. Sorry. It was a Dolly Grip came with these pictures. And then on the panel, one of the honorees was a man that I went down the Amazon with in a canoe for the Guinness Book of World Records. And
what?
I was like, Dave? And it was as if we had just gotten out of the boat.
Yes.
I went and found him, and that's the level of connection. It was immediate. It was as close as we were when spending 3 weeks together in the Amazon, and I haven't really seen him since. So in those moments,
I think when you don't hold expectation or define the value of the relationship except for embracing it just as it is, I feel like I am exactly the same way. If it's there, if I don't see somebody for 20 years and I see them, it's as if no time has gone by. Wow. I feel as full. Sometimes I wonder like, oh, why did I let so much time go by when I have such a lovely, you know, connection? And then equally, I can say there's, you know, people that, you know, that come back that maybe, you know, you're okay that they don't.
Right. We'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
It's so interesting. It's very similar. You and I are similar. See, the now as we are leaning into each other in our lives, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, she's just like me. Oh my goodness, there's so much.
We have so many things. It's. Do you have friends from when you went to school?
No. No, I have one. I have a couple women from high school who if they've called me, I would be happy to see them and talk to them. But I don't have a constant, you know, in the mainstream of my life of trying to sort of manifest my destiny. I am not in contact with them. No.
Is there a reason? You know, I'm always fascinated with people who went to school from elementary on up and have friendships that, you know, carried through. Like, it's so foreign to me and intriguing.
Well, it's also, by the way, your life, like mine, has taken you around the world. Mm. And you have created family units, friend units on every job you've ever done. And as soon as you were in a partnership or a marriage and you had a child, you know, life gets, as you know, complicated. And all of a sudden you're worn fairly thin. There's not a lot of space for other people. The dots with people often is around your work or around the children or around your family. And there's not a lot of room. I think there are some people who stay in the same town, whose children, you know, there are people more rooted.
Yes.
And in that rooting, I think it has allowed their tree of friendship to really blossom and grow and flower and leaf many, many, many seasons, intertwine around each other. That has not necessarily been the case. There's always been one primary woman friend in sort of each of the decades of my life who have become then my teacher. Mm. That, you know, I believe God put them in my path. We both satisfied some deep need for each other in that meeting. And then the lessons, the exposure to things, the lessons, and then it drifts. And then someone else comes into my path, and I have felt guilt about it and badly about it. And I'm assuming you're the same way. Again, I we don't know each other that well in that sense. And I actually don't know. I know, for instance, Amanda referred to you. I spoke to Amanda DeCadenay, and she talked about that. I've known Dee a long time, and that our relationship, you know, that you've had a relationship for a long time. Talk to me a little bit about you articulated beautifully your high school life, your early life, about alliances and thing and figuring it out super quick, and then gone, now next one, figure it out again, gone, next one. And I think that's really something people can relate to. Once you started to be a little more of an adult, sorry, how you were how old when you started working regularly? Yeah, you were young.
I started young, but really didn't start to get jobs until I was over 18, because normally it's less expensive and less complicated if they hire someone who's of age to play younger. And I started venturing down this path at like 15 or 16. And when I encountered this obstacle, I then ventured into making money as a doing a little modeling, where I learned quickly and lied about my age, so there that I just avoided that complication. And again, unlike how things are today, they didn't have the access to checking every little, you know, detail of your life, like we have now with the internet. So there's a couple of things about this question. So one, like that ability to just kind of cut off and move on was, up until, you know, the recent past, so easy and natural that it almost scared me. And I think there was a moment maybe like 10 or 15 years ago where I realized that it didn't really reflect how I felt. So I had to start to explore another way of being, you know, appreciate the parts of that that are, you know, helpful to compartmentalize, like what you were talking about with work. But I realized the other element for me that was difficult in being able to really nurture friendships really reflected my self-esteem. My general perception was, especially if someone was a peer or had a certain level of success, my perception is they won't really want to be friends with me, so I shouldn't bother. And so I would wait until someone maybe made a little bit of an overture towards me. And when I realized, like, well, how would somebody know if I didn't also make an effort? But so much of it was my fear and insecurity, that I wasn't good enough. So who would really want to be friends with me? And all of that other list of kind of garbage that I attached to my value. And I think it was only when I had a friend who kind of brought it to my attention about not reaching out that I realized that, oh, that could matter to somebody, that I didn't make, like, I moved up to Idaho and so wasn't reaching out all the time as I had been when I was living in LA, as that, just to give a context. And for me, it was perfectly normal. I hadn't changed my feelings towards this person, but it had hurt their feelings. And it was like a whole learning curve for me.
Well, we both have the privilege of having a home outside of Los Angeles that we both get to go to. Now, you have rooted there much more than I ever did. But the idea of, again, for me, out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. I don't mean out of mind, meaning I don't care about them or I don't care about you. I'm saying you're not in my active mind because I'm here now.
Right.
And what's in front of me is blank, and that's where my focus is. It doesn't mean I don't think about people. It's just I have to conjure them. I have to go, I wonder what's going on with so-and-so. And right. then I will reach out and connect. And I also understand that there's a part of it that I'm just not ever going to be enough, constant enough with them to, like, everybody has to accept it. And I think that's what happens when you become a friend of somebody who has an ability to cut and run because of their job, quote, air quotes, job. But also just we also live in two different places, and living in two different places allows that.
I also think different times create different needs and desires in your friendships. And at least I can speak for myself. Like I think in a way, you know, in our early life, we are striving with our careers. We then are thinking about if we want to have a family or not. And so then everything is kind of put like just to try to balance those two things, family, marriage, there's not much room, to be honest. Especially with jobs that are taking you everywhere and not leaving you kind of in one place. And I feel like as I've gotten older, I just cherish my female friendships. Like yeah. I like for me, they are essential to my well-being. There was some study, I don't know if it was a Stanford study or where, that actually broke down that for women, the friendships that they couldn't do without were their female friendships. I really feel like I can speak to that. In my younger years, I couldn't have. I don't know. I always appreciated my friendships, but I really treasure them now. And I am learning, though, how to invest in them in a way that also is enriching through learning from other friends.
Yes. And that's how, you know, that's how we get mothered by our friends. Mm-hmm. That's how we get sistered. By our friends, and that's how we get friended by our friends. We learn from each other. And my example of you showing up at that book reading was important because it sometimes it's just suit up and show up. That's that in itself, just the presence, the power of presence, of somebody else's presence, of them bearing witness to you and you bearing witness to them. It's what we do, you know, in celebration, and it's what we do in death. Mm. We bear witness. We stand in silent solidarity with our friends and family and let the grieving feel that support.
Mm-hmm.
Wordless. There are no words you can write. There's no object you can give. But your presence is powerful. And, you know, I think that's certainly something. And, you know, when you talked about being insecure, I know my listener will be nodding because I think we're all insecure, and it's a very powerful thing, and forgive my little baby imitation, but will you be my friend? You know, that little hand.
Yes.
Are you my friend? That little gesture and I think that just stays with us always. And that's not that different than in high school, which is like a nightmare for most people because you know you're also
it's heightened
what you look sure. like, how attractive are you to whatever sex you're attracted to, you know, how much your body is freaking out and you're not in control of it, and you were once a beautiful little girl and now you've got pimples or breasts and you're feeling like your body changed and you don't recognize it. And who am I now? And all of it. And I think your statement of that vulnerability, I think is is profound. It's that is what it is. I think anybody who pretends other than that feeling when you're young is lying. Because I think what you described was...
I do agree. It's universal. Something else that just struck me too, in my, just my own particular experience, and I don't know if there's any part that resonates for you in this, and perhaps not, but I somehow, through my experience with my own mother, made up that in relation to women, that I should not lean on them, that I should be totally self-sufficient and not burden another woman. And, you know, that my mother was obviously not the safest person. And so I didn't have that sense of a safety net of I'm having a hard time. Let me go to my mom.
Yeah.
You know, that just didn't, just wasn't familiar. And so in true fashion, I just kind of cut that off as an option. Just don't go there. And if you are there, definitely do not become needy or a burden.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cuts off the very beautiful nature of how we are with one another as women by, you know, being authentic and being, you know, vulnerable. And so I think that's been part of my learning curve. And I think some, you know, and I also think that women are generally, almost in an unspoken way, are conditioned to be pitted against one another.
Oh, I don't think it's I think it's a very conscious plan, because two things just popped in my head. One is, you talk about family, and I too, totally too, you know, was raised with the need no one. Want nothing, need no one,
yes.
And being a burden is a burden. And that's why they call it a burden. Mm. And I remember, just popped in my mind, I remember when Paul Simon sang in Graceland, he said, "You are the burden of my generation. I sure do love you, but let's get that straight." In that song about going to Graceland with his little boy. And I remember, you know, burden. Children are burdens, people. We are messy. You know, we just, it's burdensome, but it's a burden you choose for the most part, and how you carry the burden is really the beauty and grace of your life. And anyway, but what was I going to say? It was something about the competition. Wait, oh, right. So I, you know, out of the blue one time, I got sent, because I didn't get sent these kind of things very often. You know, I did horror movies. And so it was not like I didn't get the beautifully written works that other women did. And that's groovy. And I'm very content with my creative life. But Wendy Wasserstein, they did the Heidi Chronicles for television on TNT. And they asked me to play Heidi Holland, the lead character in the Heidi Chronicles. And I had to meet Wendy for her to approve me. You know what I mean? Like, they said, "We'd like Jamie to do this thing." And she was like, I don't know. And so anyway, I met her. And, you know, Heidi Holland's the sort of center point of the whole thing is this woman giving a speech at a girls' school luncheon entitled "Women, Where Are They Now?" Or no, "Women, Where Are We Going?" It was about the future of women. And Heidi, in this very challenged moment in her life, gives this sort of like rambling speech about going to the gym and about the women in the gym were talking about their shoes and like this specific shoe, and that they were talking about it like the best shoe you can get. And it was this wonderful monologue. It's about a 7-minute monologue in the middle of this play. And she's really losing it. And she's angry about it, that this is where we are after the women's movement. And the end of it, and I'm going to butcher it, and so any Wendy Wasserstein fan out there, please forgive me. But the last couple lines of it are, I thought the whole point was that we were in this together.
Mm.
Like, isn't that the point of the women's movement? Because all it was about was these shoes, and this one's husband was stooping this one, and this one was trying to get a job here, but she was a tramp. And it was the conversation of these women in this locker room that really upset Heidi Holland. And we're supposed to, the women's movement was supposed to bring us further in equality, in the gender equality, but it was also supposed to make us sisters. Sisters are doing it for themselves. We're together, and it doesn't. Yes. And it got stimulated by you talking about the competition. Yes.
What's interesting about what you're saying is, and again, I'm just wondering, it just came to me as you were talking, is now that men are having to be more accountable to their behavior, I feel like it's actually opened the pathway for that to occur. Because there's a part of the wall of defense that's been able to come down, where we are really seeing one another for that vulnerability that we had to buffer against.
Wow. I hope so. And we're seeing it more in our industry. We're seeing more women get opportunities. I noticed that the DGA magazine came across my desk the other day, and there were two women in the out of the five, which is a big shift.
Yes.
To see two women be recognized for their work. So, yes, it's so interesting. I think you're right. I think that this time of reckoning, this reckoning, will yield more of that. I hope.
And I'm definitely not one to, you know, that, well, one, I don't want to see things as black and white, good and bad, right and wrong, because I just don't think that's an accurate reflection of, and I don't like to look at men as bad. I believe that they have had conditioning also that's encouraged them and made it okay.
Rewarded them.
And exactly. And I think that, you know, we've got some ways to go for sure. And I think a part of that is, you know, or I wonder, is the evolution. You know, women 50 and up, I think, you know, if we go way back in time, you know, this was a time that shifts were made internally, hormonally. And I think there was a natural inclination to then push men away and, you know, kind of be carved out as we're done with, you know, childbearing and, you know, this is this other time. And somehow our value became attached to our fertility along the way. But what I'm wondering is, it's almost like who we are today in our 50s and 60s isn't really like reflective of what's actually occurring in our bodies entirely. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's almost like the evolutionary process hasn't caught up to who we are. We do feel, you know, have an interest in being desired and are very much engaged. And there's this holdover that almost is trying to categorically dismiss us. Well, and I don't think it's conscious.
I think it, you're talking about like retiring us. You know, there's a retirement age. It used to be 50. People would work in a company and then retire at 50. And, you know, women traditionally have been retired, a bit put out to pasture. And I agree with you. I think I think the great examples of people, but ultimately, I think that's in that is in the mind. I think it's
100%. But I do think in that menopausal, that word that, you know, is not really spoken about very much, certainly not in a way that I felt like I really understood what that meant. What does that mean for a woman? And it's more openly spoken about, but still not that much. But what are the effects that that may have on how we think about ourselves? And so when we change what we think, we will change our experience, for sure.
And just to kind of pull it full circle before I say goodbye to you, is we do that not alone. We do that with our friends.
Oh, yes.
We do that in
communion,
sisterhood,
yes.
In communion with our friends. We show each other the possibilities of new ideas, that old idea that women are put out to pasture, they're hysterical, they're, you know, they're past all of that, that was an old idea of what women were for and how they were to be thought of and treated. And the more, I mean, every woman you and I now are good friends with are vibrant, creative, powerhouses,
oh, dynamic,
of ideas
and wise
and wisdom. So you have the dynamism and the drive of a young woman in their 20s, but you have the wisdom to be able to match it with, which then grounds it into something really deep and yummy. And every single woman you and I know in our girls group, in our friend group, with our daughters, we are going to mirror for them through our own friendships. This is what can happen to you in your 60s
yes.
and 70s. This is what can happen to you. You can get deeper and wiser and prettier and stronger and more creative and more
open. More desirable. All of those things
make you more desirable because, you know, desire comes from inside you, and what happens in your mind and how you think of yourself comes out through you, through the work you do, and ultimately is the thing that people go, look at her. I want, you know, I want what she has. I want that.
Yes. And I think that that really speaks to one thing, which is love of self. That is the journey that I think we're on for all of humanity, men, women alike. That is what we're here for, is the journey to love ourselves so that we thereby really find the essence of loving everywhere.
I love you, Demi Moore.
I love you, Jamie Lee.
How wonderful. Wow.
Thank you
for being on the Good Friend podcast.
I'm honored to be here.
So I could talk to you for hours, which we will in other worlds. So for my listener, if you're still there, I would think you're leaning in and nodding. Please stay safe out there. God bless you. And tune in another time. Thank you so much for being here. It was thrilling to me.
Thank you.
Good Friend is produced by Dylan Fagan and is a production of iHeartRadio. Our theme song
Good Friend, is written, produced, and performed by Emily King.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.